This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
That DJ.
Kiss my mama goodbye. Going back to the island, I say no. My back is fine.
Sam, by damn, Mowgli.
Did you see Uncle Lou when he fall in the well?
Oh, Uncle Lou when he fall in the well.
Do a nanny, do a nanny, do a nanny, how you do?
Yeah, do a nanny, do.
Holy Grail, your boat needed bailing out. Get a sailor sound. Holy Grail, your boat needed bailing out. Hear the sailor man sound.
Dancing down, and I'm spinning round, honey. Oh, look what you do.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, Friday, July 8th, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we continue our countdown to the country's 49th Independence Day celebration. So today I'm going to have an interesting show. I have the National Firearm Association here with me, and we're going to have a conversation because, to me, this is a peculiar organization. It's an NGO that is promoting gun safety, which is cool, right? But basically promoting, like the United States, the right to bear arms. And I'm a little uneasy about guns and firearms and civilians having arms, right? But this group is saying that they are prepared to train behemoths. They're prepared to train those in the armed forces or some sort like that. And they are prepared to empower women. And I'm trying to say, how does all this mesh? Like, who are these people and where do they get this audacity to think that we need such a program? We need such an association. So I have Miss Fritz. That's right. Mr. Gordon and Mr. Sturf with me. And I just found out that later on I'll be joined by Gamal Nuri also, who's going to go in detail on why, what the agenda is, what the objective is. And I want you to call and challenge them. Let's challenge them today as they put their case forward, as they put their case forward and explain to us why this is a good idea, why this is good for the Bahamas. But first of all, I need to find out what exactly is this Bahamas Firearms Association, right? When was this established? Why was this established? And any one of you, can you go ahead and just tell me, you know, what is it?
Good morning, good morning.
Put your mic a little closer to me, please. Thanks.
Good morning. Yeah, my name is Malvin Gordon. I'm the president of the National Firearms Association. Let me start by explaining exactly who we are, what we're about. The National Firearms Association is a nonprofit NGO, like you mentioned, who's dedicated to the education and training in the areas of personal safety and security. We also train in crime prevention, woman empowerment, and the protection of women. Our programs also stretch as far as active violence, active shooter response, that we're going to be working with a lot of businesses and the government with, and, of course, firearm safety and knowledge. The firearm safety and knowledge part of it came about because we have more than 40,000 plus licensed firearm
and
owners.
And I saw that number on your info, right? And I said 40,000? 40,000 guns out there?
It's over 40,000. And most of them, you know, they're, of course, it's different makes and models of guns, but they're over 40,000 licenses. I'm talking law-abiding citizen mm-hmm. that owns licensed firearm. So we need everybody to understand what we're doing here. It's not about the illegal firearms on the streets. It's not about promoting violence. It's about finding creating an outlet to properly train over 40,000 persons out there who's pretty much just get purchased a firearm and have a license. Most persons probably have never even had the opportunity to go to a location and properly use their firearm. So we are creating an outlet, an organization that we can provide proper certified training to get everybody more comfortable with their firearm and moving forward. Like, and again, firearm safety training is just one aspect of what we do. The National Firearms Association.
But before you go on,
sure.
Don't the police force do this? Go ahead. Doesn't the police force do this now? I mean, I see that you're trying to like wedge your way in to something that exists right now. I'm just asking.
You know, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. The at this time, from what we know and our knowledge after our research, that's not something that's happening right now. There's no organization, there's no proper training in the country for civilians with firearms. You do have persons who, in their spare times, they might take someone out to a makeshift range and show them how to use, how to fire a few rounds downrange. But there's no training, especially for civilians. The police, Royal Bounds Police Force, have their law enforcement instructors that specifically train law enforcement. But there's no outlet, there's no training for civilians. And so something we're also trying to push and work with government with is to create a standard, a national training standard, before persons actually go out and get a firearm, or before they actually go out and get before they renew their firearm. We're trying to push for government to put in place a national training, whereas everybody has to be certified in a training before they can get either a new firearm or get their next license going forward.
And I want to talk more about certification, right, and what type of certification you have to say that you can do that, right? Mm-hmm. But before then, I want to understand again your NGO, right? Mm-hmm. I want to know the history of it. I want to know the makeup of who are in this group. Mm-hmm. Why you three, right? Mm-hmm. You as the president, what qualifies you to be the president? What qualifies you all to be members? And give me a history of this organization.
All right. The idea of the organization, again, came up because of the need. A simple need that there is a lot of untrained civilians. There's a lot of firearms owners out there who want training. That's the thing. So a lot of persons don't just want training just to have training. A lot of people want to do stuff like hunting, get into hunting locally in the country, be able to go to the islands to do hunting and stuff like that. But they want to get proper training on how to do this. The organization has an affiliation with the National Rifle Association of America Training and Education Division, and only the Training and Education Division, not to be confused with the legislative commission that, you know, everybody always talking about how the NRA trying to push firearms on the streets in the U.S. That has nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. We are affiliated as well as thousands of law enforcement associations all over the world who's also affiliated with the NRA's Education and Training Division. We are also affiliated with that. And to get that affiliation, we needed to have at least a minimum of three certified NRA instructors on as part of our team, of a part of our board. So we have a total of five NRA-trained instructors.
And explain, what does that mean?
That means
trained instructors.
Right. That means that the individuals who are instructors completed a course with the NRA to become an instructor in a particular discipline. For example, our crime prevention discipline, which is the refuse to be a victim certification, you have to complete that full training. You have to do an examination. You have to pass. And before you get your training, that training can run anywhere from 12 to 40 hours of training, right? It's in-depth training that qualifies you to teach persons crime prevention, you know, and all that. The firearms certifications, rifle, pistol, shotgun, those are all classifications that you would have to get training in. The minimum, the training starts anywhere from 8 hours, just as a basic introduction, up to 80 hours before you can actually become an instructor.
Okay.
All right. So it's just like our training we provide here. The certifications are classroom training, where you sit down in a classroom and you learn everything that you need to learn in a classroom setting. Then you move to actual shooting range, and you learn everything you need to learn safety wise in a shooting range. So,
and even though I want to hear the rest of this, right? I want to interject.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a novice. I want to learn gun safety.
Right.
So you're saying there's a classroom aspect of it?
Yes.
So what do I start that process?
So what we offer, we offer two set of training. We offer introduction training where if you just want to learn the basics of your firearm itself, how to use it, the background and all that, and then you have the full certification. So the basics runs for about 2, maybe 3 hours, where mm-hmm. we sit you down and just, you know, we discuss everything about your gun. Let's say you use a shotgun, which is the most popular. We break down everything about the shotgun, not just the fact that you don't learn to shoot it. No, you need to learn how it operates. You need to learn how to clean it. You need to learn how to keep it safe in your home so your kids or anyone else don't have access to it. You need to learn responsibility, and that's what it's all about. Fire ownership is about responsibility. Right, not just the liable responsibility, but the ethical responsibility in firearm ownership. So what we do is any person who has a licensed firearm, first of all, we verify your license. We make sure that your license is up to date,
mm-hmm.
and the license match the firearm that you want to train with. So once you have a licensed firearm that's licensed to you, that qualifies you to sign up for a particular course.
So I can't have. So I can't have a license and borrow somebody's gun.
No. We only train you on the firearm that the government or the competent authority, which is the Royal Bounds Police Force Firearm Division, whatever firearm that they deem or they give you a license for, that's the firearm we train you for. So no, you cannot get training on a firearm that belongs to somebody else. The firearm has to belong to you. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. Now, what we do is if for example, your wife lives in a house with you and you have a firearm,
mm-hmm.
she can sit in on a firearms course with you because mm-hmm. she's going to be in the house and for any reason she might need to, you know where it is, unlock it or whatever. She needs to know, learn certain things. But that's the extent that we go. We don't extend any further than that. Your spouse who lives in the same house, that's fine. We'll be able to allow with certain things. But those are the minimum requirements for you to reach out to us for training. You have to have your own firearm. It has to be licensed and up to date. Now, once it's up to date, you decide which course you want to do. If you just want to do the basic course, just learning the basics of your particular firearm, or you want to do a full certification course. The full certification course is a minimum of 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we do everything from classroom. You have to sit down in a classroom for a minimum 4 hours. You go over we have a full presentation. You do a written exam in the classroom before we even hit the range, because we need to know that you understand the material being presented. So it's not just taking people out to a location and shooting in a location, all right? So once that's done, then we go down to the range. Once you get to the range, we move into the more physical aspects of the firearm before we actually take the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we break your firearm down, we get you comfortable, we ask you questions, we make sure you understand things, and then we move into actual, you know, firing your first shot, stuff like that. So afterwards, after you've done all of that, then you actually have to show us. We have an examination period on the range itself. You actually have to now show us everything you've learned. So in that process, if at any time you show that you have failed in any particular safety check or anything you're supposed to be doing as far as keeping safe, you have to start over again. So the course is not as simple as you coming out and you spending 1 or 2 hours and all right, you good to go. You know how to shoot a gun. No. We get in depth, we push you, and we make sure that you pass and you can show everything you've learned for the day. You have to literally show everything, pass the exam, both in the class and on the range.
Actually, we have a lady here with us, right? I'm not, without being called sexist, right? I'm a little like uneasy or unnerved or saying, this is strange, this is irregular to see a woman in the presence of these men, right, who knows about guns. I would like to know how you got involved in this and what type of training you went through and how comfortable you feel.
Well, I got involved when Mr. Gordon, the president, he presented to a group of individuals, close friends, that he had an idea where he wanted to make sure that the public was safe as it relates to firearms, because it did come to his attention that there are, like we said, over 40,000 licensed firearm owners, and a lot of people, they would purchase their firearm. Like we mentioned, the police force or no other entity provides training. So persons who purchase their firearms, they just have them at home, haven't used them for years, or they occasionally take them out to certain areas, which is not the safest way to utilize your firearm. And he wanted to provide proper training to people so they can utilize their firearms and make sure that everybody knows how to utilize them in a safe manner and it's safe for the public. And once he presented this information and it's all factual and we understood that there's actually a need, you know, we came on board and we wanted to support the cause. And this is how the organization came about. So, go ahead.
So, Ms. Fritz, so you said you have a gun?
Yes.
You have your own gun?
Yes, I'm a licensed firearm owner.
And you shoot it?
Yes, we go to the range and we shoot occasionally, yes. And it's nothing to be afraid of. What I feel people don't understand more, especially females, is a firearm is an inanimate object, which means that it's a thing. It can't think, it can't breathe, it can't do anything without being utilized by a person or without being put into motion by a person. So once that individual who is handling that firearm understands the operation of it and the safety aspects, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's all about knowledge and training. Once you understand it and you understand how to operate it, you'll be fine. It's all about understanding what you're handling and what you're dealing with.
Can I ask what type of gun you have?
Yes, I have a Typhoon.
That's a gun? I mean, I don't know nothing about a gun, and I'm just hearing and amazed that you have some type of gun and that you use it regularly and you shoot. So that's impressive. I mean, not trying to be sexist or anything. It's interesting. But let's bring Mr. Stirrup into this conversation.
Yes, sir.
And are you an executive inside the organization or just a member inside the organization?
I'm one of the executives. I'm one of the directors.
Okay. And explain your role in the organization and basically how to join it, basically.
Okay. Well, my role in the organization is I'm one of the firearms instructors.
Okay. So you're certified. You're one of those people who went abroad.
Yes, and I also, yes, I came also with a belt of background. I'm a skill of arms instructor, military skill of arms instructor.
American so military or Bahamian military?
Bahamian, but I also went off mm-hmm. in the U.S. and I went to England mm-hmm. as well. So I have 34 years experience in firearms. Mm-hmm. So I've been training persons to the use of firearms now for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. I also train in explosive, commercial, improvised, military, unimprovised explosives. I'm an explosive instructor as well, right. Among a few other things. Mm-hmm. So I am one of the executives in the Firearms Association, and I assist the president with training, and I also assist with recruiting of members for the association. Joining the association is quite easy. You can just go online. Our site is www.nfa.org.bs is our website. Mm-hmm. Once you go onto that website, there is a link, a membership link. You can click on the membership link. It's very easy to use. You can join. You can also read up on the association. You can meet all of the directors. We have a Who We Are section on that site. It explains from the president all the way down to all the directors and all of the executive members on that site. It gives our background. It gives a little brief bio of us. It gives who we are as an organization. And it also explains a lot of things that we're pushing in terms of civilian training. We also reach out to law enforcement as well. Mm-hmm. We do law enforcement training as well. And we
Wait,
like...
you all train law enforcement officers now?
Yes, we do.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Yes, so
we're that saying, actually another question, but I don't want to cut you. And I know you're in the military organization, mm-hmm. right? But I want to ask a question regarding your relationship. And I see I got a call soon. I can put that pastor caller through soon. But I want to know your relationship with the commissioner of police, because I know he's the one who issues permits to individuals, right? And to know that you now help train officers. I assume that you have some type of intimate relationship with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, something.
Yeah, good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Yeah, we have a good working relationship with all of the law enforcement agencies, and certainly I intend to assist in delivering those services to them as needed. So the relationship isn't just with, you know, we sort of get locked in and think just police, but don't forget all of our agencies, be they the corrections, be they the custom officer, the immigration officer, or the defense force officer, all of them are involved in or handling and use of firearms. And we have resources that we feel that could be of assistance to them to ensure that their skill sets and their are improved upon.
Okay. I'm flabbergasted and intrigued. I have a caller there. Producer, put Patrick caller through so I can hear their concerns about this. The caller gone?
No, I'm right here.
Okay, go ahead.
Godly Day, I have a question. My question is, Pistol, the lady, is she a member of an organization or anything like the police or the defense force? And if not, do you use a pistol? And how? What give you the prerogative to use a pistol if you are not a member of an organization?
Okay, thank you very much, Brayman. But let me rephrase that question, right? What type of guns are you using to be training? Because I think pistols is for a special class of people who the commissioner of police dubbed to be used. But do you do training with pistols also?
Yes, we provide training with persons. Again, reminded now. All of the individuals who would come to us for training would be licensed firearm holders. We're not just training any willy-nilly off the street. And I think that needs to be clarified. And so if you have a special license to carry a handgun, a pistol, or a revolver, we can assist you in better utilizing that particular device. Similarly, if you have a rifle or a shotgun licensed by the proper authority, mm-hmm. we can assist in that training. So again, the association is facilitating the service to licensed firearm owners, and we are trying to fill that gap in where persons get access to a firearm. However, they don't have an opportunity to develop those competencies, skill sets in the use of that. And it's everything from safety. How do you keep it? You know, how do you maintain it? Because you can have that firearm for 3 years and never use it. So if it's not clean, if it's not oiled properly, and you decide to pick it up and use it, you can it could be more of a danger to you than the person that you're attempting to use it against, or the hunting or the animal that you intend to shoot, because we do hunt as well.
So I just want to go ahead. I just want to engage just a mm-hmm. short thing here. In my experience, and I've been training persons for about 6 or 7 years now. Civilians with the use of shotguns consistently. And most persons who came to me for training, they had their firearm for at least 5 years minimum and have never shot it. Some persons up to 10 years had a firearm, bought it, put it in the safe. Some of them were still in the box, just how they got it from the store. They put it in the safe, never took it out. Didn't know anything about the firearm. They brought it to me in the box, just how they purchased it, 5 to 10 years. So that is something that we're trying to fix. That is something that we're trying to engage the general public, because most persons, they just buy a firearm. They have no idea, like yourself, how to use it, what it's all about, and they just buy it and they just put it in the safe. And so you would be surprised to know the percentage of persons that own firearms in this country that have never used that firearm.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and to answer the caller's question, so while I am trained in using a shotgun, a pistol, a rifle, I legally own a local firearms license for my Typhoon Defense F-12, which is a semi-automatic shotgun. It's not a pistol. So with the caller stating, how do I have the audacity or... right, to utilize a pistol or have a license for a pistol, I do not. I just want to make that very clear.
And that leads to another question, right? I know what a shotgun is, right? I know what a rifle is. And I've seen the commissioner of police, when he's doing his report and presenting all the guns, you see these fancy-looking, Uzi-looking guns, right? And they're calling it still shotguns or alternated or whatever they add things to it, right? I would like to know, what is your organization's opinion on such, right? Is this something that you all promote? They alter these shotguns and have these weird-looking guns?
Well, I wouldn't say weird-looking.
The guns look scary.
Yes.
The guns look scary. It looks like it can shoot everybody.
Okay. Well,
then I hear it's semi-automatic. Semi-automatic means you go bap, 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 right?
No,
that's not semi-automatic?
No.
That's full automatic.
That's full automatic.
Same thing. I'm just saying it sounds scary when you said it.
Okay. Let me explain the working details between a semi-automatic and a pump. The only difference is instead of actually having to manually pump the firearm automatically reloads itself.
Oh, that's what semi-automatic means?
Yes, that's all it means.
But
you still have to engage each round, one single round. Now, semi-automatics can look just like a regular pump. Sometimes you can't tell the difference because they look the same. The only difference is the internal mechanisms is gas operated as opposed to manually operated, where you have to actually manually pump the one round into the chamber. There's a gas operated system inside of the firearm that automatically does that for you. And it came about because of sports shooting. Because most times when we hear about firearms in the country, we have a negative connotation because we only hear about it on the news. We only hear about it for crime. But shotguns are used in clay shooting. They're used in sport shooting around the world. They're used in hunting. They're used in many target shooting. They have competitions all over the world. And so shotguns are not just used just basically for bird shooting like we know about in the Bahamas. So the firearms are used in many different areas around the world for many different activities. And so we're trying to broaden the horizons of persons that own firearms, especially shotguns in the Bahamas, that we do have a clay shooting here as well. They can join the clay shooting, and I think the president will allude more to that. We have clay shooting, we have target shooting, we have shotgun competition, we have a lot of different activities that you can get involved in with your shotgun.
And your association provides this?
Yes.
Okay, I need to find out where exactly is this place, but go ahead.
Just a quick point to your question, because I want to clarify your question. Your question spoke to the display of, in the first instance, illegal or prohibited weapons. That you mentioned the commissioner of police, from time to time, they would do a briefing about weapons that they acquired. We do not endorse any breaching or breaking of the law. So the weapons, I just want to make sure you don't put us in a category that endorses or promotes any modification that will cause a weapon to become illegal. Because then we have a duty as an association, and as citizens, to report that breach to the police. So if someone comes to us, and this is for clarity, just to make sure we're on the same page, if someone comes to the association, to one of our training events, and they present a modified or prohibited weapon, we will immediately report that individual to the police. So please don't, when you see that those are illegal weapons and modified weapons that the commissioner has presented, that's not the National Firearms Association's agenda or endorsement whatsoever. Yeah?
Let me just also add that from our inception, from we first started our PR campaign, the first things we did was met with the National Security Minister to lay out our organization, our goals, some of the objectives, what we're going to be doing. He asked all the questions. We presented everything to make it clear that we're going to be working 100% with the law, with the National Security Minister. We also met with the AG to go over a lot of things. So everything we're doing is all about the law. It's all about being a part and working along with law enforcement.
Okay, so you have another caller there. Go ahead, caller. Thanks for holding.
Good morning to all.
Good morning.
You folks are making a good case for your association. And I have no problems with that. But here's where I part ways. Okay. Can anyone tell me what is the percentage of problems with people who, I want you to listen to this carefully now, people who has had firearms, licensed firearms, for the last 10 years, what is the percent of problems you had with legal people holding firearms? Anyone can answer that. Please don't hang up. I have some more questions.
Could you repeat that? Could you repeat the question, sir?
Can you give me the percent of any problems, people misusing firearms, with a licensed firearm for the last 10 years? What is the percent?
He wouldn't know if you all have any basic knowledge of any crime being prevented by licensed firearms.
So we won't be able to speak to what percentage that is, because that would be something that the police would investigate and determine the illegal use. But what we can't...
You bring me closer to my point then, because I was going to make my point more clear. But then the point is, so why do we now, people who don't have time to go through... All right, people who want to go to your association is fine. That's why I say I have no problems with that. Why... I'm just tired of the red tape in this country, you know. Why do people who don't have the time for that? Now you want to make mandatory to do that? Who, over the last 10 years, you don't hear no problems with people who had firearms in this country? Your claims, the point you make, a good point, is that the firearms are just sitting up inside the closet. Well, that's fine. They're hurting nobody. I'm with you that people could be trained. Why everybody want to make everything mandatory in this country on people who don't have the time for it? And you're already paying. You know, license has gone up 100 or 150% last couple of years, right? Red tape, more time. People who have businesses got to go to you. Then you're saying you could disqualify it. Then you can later on you can get political or this. You can go into some states where an 18-year-old boy could go right there to the corner, buy his weapon, and he go home, right? Why are we going backwards in life? But let me just say this to the government. I'm with you, fellas. But I'm just saying, I am tired of us going backwards in the Bahamas. Now, here's what I want to say to the government. Before you guys go again and go past things, because a few people get together, or your boy, your friends, family, friends, and lover, put this to a vote or a referendum. You have a good day, government, not your people there. You guys have a good day. I'm with you.
Let me. Thank you very much, caller. But I ascertain from what the caller is saying, your organization seems to be another red tape. He wants to go directly to the commissioner of police and just get his gun and don't need a body that you can go and demand that he gets trained. That's how I interpret it. I'm not sure if you understood it that way.
Yeah, that's what we gathered. And to the caller's point, this organization is not another layer. This organization is trying to promote safety. Similarly, when someone gets a driver's license, when someone gets, there's some type of qualifier. What we are promoting, or what we're attempting to do, is to promote a qualifier. And also, I think the caller has to appreciate that even though we may not have a number, right, of the misuse of firearms, the point what we're driving at is that firearms have and are misused. And so we want to promote safety, we want to promote education, we want to make sure that persons in the country who have that desire, this isn't for everybody, you know, he uses the word mandatory, this isn't for everybody, this is for persons who have that desire and that interest to be better familiar with a device that they determine that they want to have in their home, you know?
Let me kind of also touch on what the caller called about, and again, and we appreciate the fact that you do support some aspects. And the issue or the explanation I can give you is this. Yes, you have many persons who have firearms, you know, in the closet. Like you say, it's not bothering anybody. But for far too long, and I think it's just a Bahamian culture, whereas we feel we don't need something. We don't need the training. We don't need the knowledge because certain things don't happen here. But for me, as a safety instructor for many years and traveling around the world and knowing the things that happen, it's always safer to have the training and not need it than to wake up one morning and realize, okay, something happened. I need to go in the closet and get this gun that's been sitting there for 7-8 years. And now the gun ain't working, so the gun is useless to you, or the gun ain't clean or whatever, or you don't know how to properly use it. And then whoever you, let's say, for example, for any reason you have to defend your family, just you know, a random example, you now have a firearm that you don't know how to use properly, and whoever you're defending from, you know, end up getting the advantage.
I soon have to take a break, and I'm going to take a call first and then go in the break. So you basically also train how to take care of your weapon, or your firearm.
That's part of the training that we do. It's all about the everything from cleaning to proper safety to proper storage. All that is a part of the training. So it's not just about people have this thing where, you know, it's about using, or it's about shooting or shooting somebody. No, it's not about that. It's about overall safety of your firearm. And again, this organization, we don't do any kind of licenses. We don't have nothing to do with the process of licensing. All that is completely the Royal Bahamas Police Force, like our firearms division. We have nothing to see with that. What we're offering here is persons who, like Nuri said, the persons who want to get proper training, the person who want to be able to say, hey, I am properly trained, I am safe, this firearm is safe in my house, around my kids, or whatever the case may be. That's what the organization is about.
Okay, I'm going to take this call, and then we go straight to the break. And on the other side, I want to hear about these activities that you do. I see you have sports, shooting, and hunting, and aspects of that. I want to know more of what is it that you train on, and that you have people have access to. Sure. But go ahead, caller. Thanks for holding.
Guys. Morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man.
I congratulate you for your new show, man.
Oh, thanks very much. It's growing.
Yeah, I'm going to good afternoon to your guests. First of all, I believe in citizen arming themselves. I think the government should look at that with proper regulation and mental back check. I'm also, your guys, you need to tell the public you don't deal with assault weapons. That's the difference between a regular weapon. I think everybody here know what a assault weapon is based on what you see in the United States. But I believe in arming ourselves, and I think we should go there. I think y'all should have a proper draft in place so we could go and arm the citizens. Citizens need to be armed. Have a good day.
Okay, and we're going to break, but I want to read this text, right? It says, no more guns, more guns, more problems. The more people will try to be heroes and vigilantes, the more people, including innocent bystanders, will get shot. Many times, the fact that victims of crime are not armed saved their lives. So people are concerned that if the more people get guns, more people can get hurt. But right after this break, we're going to get back to just even give some more commentary on that. We'll be right back after this.
Your basketball teams up today for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, August 1st through the 7th at the Hope Center. Get ready for the Pastors versus Politicians, along with the Phil Lightburn Slam Dunk Contest, then Energy 3-Point Shootout, along with all championship games, live in living color at the Kendall G. Eliza Gymnasium, Sunday, August 7th, beginning at 5 p.m. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Street Basketball Classic. For more information, contact 601-4842.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Mm-hmm.
welcome back to Garden Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm having an interesting conversation with people from the National Firearm Association. And this firearm association encompasses persons who are in law enforcement, private citizens, men and women. And I was intrigued and impressed that you have a number of female membership. How many females do you have in the organization? I mean, a rough number. I'm not saying exact numbers. But
on the board, we have three.
Bring your mic a little closer.
On the board, we have three ladies on our actual board who are one is actually.
And these women have guns.
We are VB. They are shooters.
My God. And they shoot the guns.
Yes, sir.
They're also, they're also instructors.
They teach too.
They teach. Yeah. This is important because one of the programs that we do have, for example, is the women, the SWAG, which is strong women alert. And guards, right? And guarded, sorry. So I'm gonna now let our instructor, hold on.
Important, you're an instructor too.
You just call him a shooter. I don't like how you're saying that, man. Right. Yeah. Mr. Nuri, you're saying that it's negative connotation. She is an instructor.
I already get about three texts asking typical man.
Talk about SWAT.
What type of, how qualified is the woman, right? Already, we know you're sexist, right? Yeah. So, that you're here, I'm grateful that you're here to represent. But go ahead.
Okay, so our SWI clinic, as Mr. Nuri said, it's strong women alert and guarded. Mm-hmm. So this aspect of our organization is similar to our award-winning program, which is Refuse to Be a Victim. But this aspect focuses solely on training females. So we equip them with the knowledge they need to predict, prevent, and avoid violence, and if need be, prepares them to handle violent confrontation. So we take this area of our organization and we focus solely on females. And I'm saying females and not women because that part of our programs, we would like to start from the age of 13
with
education.
You're trying to say you can start gun training at 13 teenagers?
No, not SWAG. This is SWAG. This is
what it is.
SWAG.
Explain it to me.
It's more about personal safety.
Okay.
Right. That's that aspect of it. It's not about training with firearms.
Okay.
This teaches you more about personal safety as you go about your day-to-day life, teaching you how to be alert and aware of certain situations, how to be alert and aware of your surroundings to avoid becoming a victim.
Defensive
of
and offensive.
Yes. So okay. That's what that's about.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Nice. So you have a good women's female program about self-awareness and everything.
Yes.
Also in regarding the gun safety and everything.
And that's what we need everybody to understand. Yes, the NFA, National Firearm Association, everybody just gets stuck on the word firearms.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
All the time. But if everybody, and one thing we have in this country, and I really wish at some point the God would bless us that it'll change, mm-hmm. is that people don't read. They say if you want swing Bahamians, just put it
in a book. Yeah.
Right? Put it in a book. They don't read. So if any Bahamians who take the time to check out the organization really take the time to read, they'll find out that our capabilities are crime. We have very good a crime prevention program, which we're going to be working very closely very soon with law enforcement, also with the national security. On we have the award-winning "If Refuse to Be a Victim" program, training program, which pretty much teaches citizens how to better be aware and alert, so they can have a less likely of being victim of crime. This is a crime prevention that we'll be trying to push really hard. Again, everybody just hang up on the word firearms.
Mm-hmm.
But the Refuse to Be a Victim program, everybody's going to start seeing that advertising really soon. We're going to really try to start to push that, really try to train people how. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of little things that that we do as citizens that we can avoid being victim of crime. Everything from getting your car breaking into, getting robbed and stuff like that. Just making better choices. So we're really going to push hard to get this training out there to start teaching Bahamians how to not be victims of crime.
What a question. Are you promoting that more citizens get access to guns?
No.
No.
That's not something we're not. That's not something we're promoting. Our crime prevention, we have about five programs that has nothing to do with firearms. Mm. All right? The firearm safety aspect is just one aspect of it. Based on their over 40,000 licensed firearms that's already exist.
So you're targeting the 40,000 people who have licensed.
That's already existing. We're not going out there saying everybody need to be armed. We're not saying, hey, give everybody a gun. We're not promoting that. Whatever anybody who wants to get a firearm, they have to go through the process that that has to do with the police force. That has nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. Oh. But we do have a firearms training mechanism as part of the organization that we want to target these persons who ready have firearms to come on board and get proper training for the firearms. But again, we have a number of different programs that we want to push out the Bahamians. Our preparedness and resiliency program, we call RAVE. It's a response to active violent events. That's another program that we're going to be pushing out to businesses and groups.
So you have a list of programs that you do?
We have a list of programs that we do.
And right. You have a website or
yes,
a Facebook?
Yes, everything. Again, everything's on the website. And at any time, anybody can go on the website.
It's nfa.org.bs.
Yeah, nfa.org.bs. You can go and you can read up on all this stuff. We have a lot of programs we're going to be reaching out to, like I say, churches, businesses, government organizations. We're going to be reaching out to everybody to try to really push a lot of the training that we want to do, the violence training, the refuse to be a victim's training, the woman empowerment training, all that we want to push.
And you have a gun range ready? And where is that located?
Yes, we have a private range that we use on the property in the southwestern area.
Okay. Yeah. So just in contact with you and then people yes. could gain more information about that.
Yes,
okay.
And I just want to reiterate again and just say this one more time in the hearing of the Bahamian public. The National Firearms Association is not lobbying for persons to go and get firearms.
So we think in America. So when you hear your name, you know we get that concern.
Right. We are simply an organization dealing with safety and training. That's all we're promoting. We're promoting safety and training.
Mm-hmm.
With the use of firearms as well as our other programs. Firearms just happens to be a part of it,
mm-hmm.
but we are pushing for safety and training. So we are not a lobbying group for the promotion of go and get armed.
What about a person like me who's afraid of guns, right?
Okay.
But kind of interested to say, okay, I just want to know how to use one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to go and get a gun license first before I learn to shoot things?
Well, one of the things we're going to be doing is putting on different clinics.
Okay.
And we're hoping by the end of August we can actually put on a kind of a workshop where we can actually invite people to find out exactly who we are, where we can invite even all of the local firearms dealers to bring, you know, certain firearms around so they can know what here in the country. So regardless of everybody who seem to be afraid or thinking of our organization in a negative connotation, we do have a lot of people out there who've been looking to get training, who've been wanting training, who want to learn how to, this firearm they just spend but $1,000 on, they're sitting up doing nothing, they want to know how to do it. So we've had a lot of people reach out who want to get training, who wants to really know more of the organization and become more trained in safety and all that.
Can let me quickly go to this caller. Go ahead, caller. You have about 2 minutes, and then I'm going to start wrapping
up. Good afternoon. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead, man. Good to hear you.
Good morning to your guests. You know, the lady's right. I don't have a problem with females owning guns because they are the most vulnerable. But the caller who called and questioned the Firearms Association, right, they are doing quite the opposite. They're actually training responsible firearm ownership and usage, right? But what I want to ask the gentleman is, because I was listening to him a few times, do you train the people on the dangers that could come from over-oiling a gun and the different types of bullets, some of which are illegal, like the Teflon, because I live in the States with my cousin, and he has a gun, a handgun, and they fought in July, they would fire it, but you would always keep it responsibly. They've never shot anybody, so you could get some data from the States. A lot of people have handguns in the States, and they don't, and my cousin is 50-something, same age as me, never shot anybody. His father is about 70-something, not at all his life. When I was a child going over the summer, never shot anybody. And I used to be in Georgia on the farm with shotguns from teenagers and never shot anybody. So it's about responsible gun ownership. Have a good day.
I appreciate that. But I wonder, before we go, list some of the services that you do. I mean, I see that some kind of clay shooting type thing. What is that exactly?
Yeah, we have a number of outside of, well, everything shooting related. We have a hunting program where persons want to come to learn to properly use their firearm for hunting purposes. We have a program for hunting, which teaches you everything from the usage to the type of ammo to use, how to properly hunt, what to wear, and all the good stuff. We have sports clay shooting, which is a something we really want to try to push in the Bahamas for. It's a sporting activity that goes even as far as the Olympics, that we really want to get Bahamians involved with, which is a positive program that persons can do with their firearms. as in competition, just how we have baseball and basketball and everything else. Sports clay shooting is something a person can get into. So that's something we want to train people on, teach, you know, teach them how to properly use a sports clay shooting setup, a range, and stuff like that. We have classes on cleaning, maintenance, all that stuff. We have, again, we have the all of the crime prevention, the woman empowerment, the preparedness and resiliency. We have specialized law enforcement division training, and a number of certification training.
And I appreciate you coming in today. This was Guardian Radio AM. I am with the Firearm Association.
National
Firearm Association of the Bahamas. Yes. Thank you for the correction. And this has been CA Nuri. And have a wonderful day. Happy Independence, everybody.